This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Well, let's clean that up. It's the Natalie attired Michael Lombardi, the dapper one, as we welcome you in on this Friday, January 6th. I'm Patrick Maher. He is Michael Lombardi. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the sports betting network. What's going on, buddy? How are you?
Not much. You know, a little chilly in the office today, Patrick. I thought I'd put a coat on, you know, try to stay warm. It wasn't sweater weather, but it wasn't really, you know, so I kind of mix it around a little bit, try to keep you off guard, you know.
Look good. I thought Millie might have got her hands on you before the show started, and it looks you look dapper. You look great. Hey, let's start with good news, and then we'll get into logistics. Okay, so the DeMar Hamlin news continues to be shockingly good, and the recovery is awesome. Neurologically is where you look during these injuries. Was oxygen repressed from the brain? He is neurologically responding, and overnight they removed the breathing tube. Michael, the progress is remarkable in recovery for DeMar Hamlin right now. It's awesome.
Yeah, I have a really good friend who's a doctor from Wilmington. I call him Dr. Anthony, and when this happened, he obviously, he's a heart doctor. He specialized in it, and he said that because of the medical personnel were right there on the field, that they were able to get his heart beating again, that there was a good chance, and he didn't obviously know, that maybe DeMar didn't have any brain damage or any severity to life moving forward. And he thought that through 72 hours, and that was his tweet, his text to me, 72 hours, I think this young man will pull through as long as he keeps fighting. And that's exactly what happened, and thank God he has. And he is a fighter, and now he has turned the corner where he's talking. You know, we feel like there's been no brain damage, nothing going on. He's having communications. He's talking, which is the best news ever. And, you know, I feel that motivation will now transcend itself down to the Buffalo Bills as they get ready to play their game on Sunday. I think this is the news they needed, Patrick, to then move forward with the season.
Yeah, I think it's well said. Something to buoy their spirits. Of course, the tube removed overnight. He began talking with his care team. And then, the best news of all, he FaceTimed with his teammates, telling the players and coaches, love you boys, during Friday's team meeting. So earlier today, and we also have a great update from the doctor. Let's go ahead and roll that.
You know, when he was communicating with us last night and then again today, that's been in writing. And, you know, to paraphrase one of our partners, you know, when he asked, did we win? The answer is yes. You know, DeMar, you won. You've won the game of life. And that's probably the most important thing out of this. And we really need to keep him at the center of everything else that's going on. And we really want to ensure a good outcome for him.
So just fascinating how the brain works, where what he went through, he woke up and assumed he was back in the game. You know, it's incredible. He said, did we win the game? And they said, yes. Yeah. If you didn't hear that, you won the game of life. And I thought we should take a few minutes to start the show. This is just an awesome story as far as DeMar Hamlin recovering.
No doubt. And, you know, it's the power of a lot of people. You know, DeMar's a fighter, and those medical people there at the field. I mean, the trainer from the Buffalo Bills who was able to go out there and perform the CPR, to instantaneously be able to recognize and be trained to handle a situation so dire that we have never seen before. So, you know, this is a great day for all involved, because to save his life, it was just more than one. It took everybody.
It sure did. So, and just on a personal note, my father went through a terrible accident probably about 5 years ago, and the doctors prepared us for him to not have brain function, because the brain is so nebulous in a way you just don't know how it's going to react. And I had a conversation with my father, Michael, right before his accident, and then he was in a coma for close to 2 months. He woke up, he called me, and he picked up the conversation that we had before he went down. So wow. Just to give you an idea of how fascinating what we're working with in the inner workings of the brain and just the mystery behind it all. And that's what you heard with DeMar Hamlin when he woke up and he said, hey, we win the game. And neurologically, I think the idea that somebody like my father and now DeMar Hamlin pulling through, it's just a miracle. And like you said, the miracle of prayer. And he's certainly got a lot of people pulling for him. And just to add to that, there's good reasons. If you believe in karma, you know, the stories you're hearing about DeMar, relentlessly committed to giving back his charity. I know you've tweeted about it as well. He seems like a really good human being.
Yeah, you know, and he's trying to impact lives. I mean, that's all you can do. And even though he did, his reach didn't extend until he unfortunately had to suffer this injury. You know, now right. his reach is what, 7 million people for his charity. I mean, it just tells you that, you know, that awareness is so important. And now that people are aware of what he's doing, people are giving. And the power—it really comes back to the power of we. Right. I think that's really the tale of this whole week has been when we all work together, when we're all in a we have a shared common goal, when we unify ourselves as a country, we are unbeatable. And we should keep that in mind and not need a tragedy to remind us of that on a daily basis.
That's very well said. And we will speak with, we've had Dan Fates on the show. He covers the Bills before. In about 8 minutes, he's going to join us to give the perspective from the Bills. I think you said it best as far as, you know, getting that message, not only from DeMar's father the day before, and then the FaceTime message with DeMar. I think the team probably feels a little bit better about themselves going into that game against the Patriots. Now the NFL. Because the NFL faces the difficult task of, you know, kind of sifting and sorting through the playoff ramifications, Michael. You can tell us what you know. The competition and Roger Goodell signed off on a proposal sent over to the NFL owners to vote on literally as the show started. 12 o'clock your time on the East Coast, 9 o'clock my time. So the proposal really has to do with the AFC Championship game, Cincinnati and the Ravens, neutral fields. That's where we stand right now.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of back and forth here because, you know, I think that this is, instead of just, as I read what Katie Blackburn said, the daughter of Mike Brown, the owner of the Bengals, why can't we just stay with this idea of abusing a win percentage? Why do we have to convolute it all and try to change and make something not complicated complicated? And I kind of agree with that. But as I tweeted earlier today, I think there's a hidden agenda in here. You know, I mean, call me a conspiracy theory. I mean, I worked for Al Davis for 10 years. It rubs off, right? There's got to be an underlying story here somewhere. And I go back to when I was in those meetings and Lamar Hunt was really pushing hard for a conference Final Four. AFC, NFC Conference Final Four, give it to New Orleans, give it to Phoenix, give it to Los Angeles, a city, you know, and then bring the Final Four together like they do in basketball and have an event. Now, I mean, I've read all the comments. It's, you know, that doesn't help the fans. It costs more money. I get all that, and I understand all that, and I'm not saying I'm for it. I'm just saying this has been a huge backdrop in the National Football League. And it did, and it met with a lot of resistance by the owners back then, but this is 15, 20 years ago. And this could be, you know, the landscape. And any revenue that the owners generate, they're not just putting in their pocket, they're putting in the players' pockets too. So I think it's something to take in, that this, I think, is a trial balloon a little bit. I really do. It's going to be interesting to see how this vote goes. I think the vote's going to go more along the line of, let's just keep it simple. That's my instinct. But, you know, Goodell has the ability to control a lot of different votes. Mike Brown typically, you know, he's always the one guy. If you ever see the voting at 31-1, that one usually is Mike Brown.
Well, so we should note that the game has officially been canceled between the Bills and Bengals. And what you're talking about with the Bengals are bitter because the Bengals are saying, hold on now. So they've been named the AFC North champs, right? The Bengals. But if the Ravens beat the Bengals this weekend, essentially there's going to be a coin flip. If they played a wild card game against one another, there'd be a coin flip for home field. The Bengals, Joe Mixon, and the Brown family, they're saying, hold on a second. By the rule book, the NFL rule book, we're talking win percentage. We'd be up on win percentage. So we right. should host that game. We shouldn't go to a coin flip. Also, with the AFC Championship game, potentially, the Bengals are saying we shouldn't be coming down to a coin flip here.
Right, no doubt. And I think that's right. And I think they make a strong argument. I mean, look, they have the better winning percentage. They're at 73% win percentage. The Ravens are at 62%. I mean, if the Ravens win, they're 11-6, they're 11-5. That half game matters. I will say this. You know, I think a lot of that now, I think it's the reason we're doing this at 9 o'clock your time, 12 o'clock my time on Friday afternoon, because just say that game doesn't mean anything to Cincinnati. How do they approach it?
Right.
If they know the worst they're going to be is the third seed, right? At 11-5, say they go to 12-4, right? They can't, 12-4, they're not going to be able to get to Kansas City. And Buffalo's going to be probably, what, if Buffalo's 12-4, then now we get into a coin flip there because they we'd have to go divisional rounds. So does the game mean something? I think that's why this has to get clarified before we go off the air today to kind of give Cincinnati an idea of what they need to do to win the game.
Let's give you an idea where the Bills and Chiefs, before we get Dan Fates from the Bills on, let's give you an idea where the Bills and Chiefs stand, Michael Lombardi. If the Bills and Chiefs both win or tie this weekend, they would then, by the proposal, play the AFC Championship game on a neutral site. Okay. If the Chiefs and Bills both win this weekend, the Chiefs get the one seed in the bye. If the Bills win and the Chiefs lose this weekend, the Bills get the one seed in the bye. So hopefully that's clear, but that's the way it's proposed.
Right, but there's no way. I mean, but the Bills could be 12. Let's say the Bills don't win. They go 12-4, and Cincy goes 12-4. Who's the two seed then?
That's exactly what Cincinnati is arguing about, because that's nebulous at this point. We don't know. Like, there's so much. You can go to VSiN.com, and Adam Burke wrote about it, and at the end of it, he said, stand by, more details to come.
Yeah,
because we're
going to
find
change out
a lot from this meeting that's happening in real time as we speak right now.
And I tried to write about it in my column just from a motivational standpoint, not trying to – Adam Burke does a better job at trying to figure out the seating. Read his column. My column is about understanding what the real motivation is behind some of these teams.
No, it's well put. Lombardi Look Ahead drops today. Make sure you check it out. I thought you did an awesome job explaining the motivation for some of these teams. The Houston Texans, the Washington Commanders, and on and on. I thought that was really, really important and pertinent. Okay, when we come back, how are the Bills feeling? We mentioned probably buoyed by the message from DeMar. We'll talk to Dan Fates and go straight to Buffalo next here on the Lombardi Line.
To the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, if you aren't a VSiN pro yet, what are you waiting for? It's only $79 through March Madness. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for more information. Remember, when you become a pro, not only do you get the picks every day from Michael Lombardi and hosts and guests, you get everything we offer, including the betting guides, Lombardi Look Ahead, exclusive articles, the pro tools. Also, right now, when you sign up, VSiN.com/subscribe, you get $20 in credit to spend at the online store. So make sure you check it out. $79, VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, plenty to do. It's a busy day. The NFL owners meeting happening right now. What's going to happen as far as the fallout and scheduling, AFC championship game, and more. Michael Lombardi there. I'm Patrick Maher. This is the Lombardi Line. We bring in our buddy Dan Fates, who does a great job, at Dan Fates on Twitter, Bills reporter, 13 Wham in Rochester. I know he hasn't slept since Monday, essentially. But as we say hi to our friend Dan, why don't we start with the last 24 hours, the impact on the Bills, because the news from DeMar Hamlin has been miraculous.
Yeah, remarkable recovery again. Thanks for having me on, guys. I tweeted yesterday that the last 24 hours, I feel like, has given the country football fans a chance to exhale and a chance to smile. The Bills talked about it yesterday when they had some select players. Josh Allen spoke to the media, Sean McDermott. The sense of the unknowing was really the scariest thing. So we've starting to know more, and that has put them at ease. DeMar Hamlin's father messaged with the team, had a Zoom call with them, I believe, on Wednesday, that said they pretty much needed to go back to work. And for days, football has seemed insignificant, guys. But the positive news, Josh Allen said, and the command from Marlo Hamlin to get back to work, because that is what DeMar wants, is very telling. The fact that DeMar, his first message he wrote to his bedside nurse was, "Did we win?" To which doctors had to tell him, "Yes, we won. You won in the game of life." To the fact that we just got off a Zoom call with Sean McDermott about 10 minutes ago. DeMar was able to Zoom with the team today. He said he flexed for him and told them that he loved the guys. So all of that is positive news. And it's, again, if you guys, if we would have been doing this 48 hours ago, I don't know what my tone would have been or how I'd be able to report on this, as well as a lot better now.
I mean, Dan, it's got to be so uplifting for the city of Buffalo, who just went through that incredible storm and so many loss of lives based on that frozen tundra that we saw up there. Yeah. I mean, I could just feel the community. Like, this has been somewhat uplifting as they've gone through really one of the worst storms that I've seen in terms of cold and death in recent memory.
Mike, it goes back farther than that. About a year ago or during the offseason, the city of Buffalo had a mass shooting at a top supermarket.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
That ripped through the city. That was something they had to deal with. Also during this season, Dawson Knox, the Bills starting tight end, his brother suddenly passed away. It's another thing this team has had to deal with and cope. Then you had the first snowstorm that left 7 feet and devastated the city in that way. The team had to go play a home game in Detroit, then find a way back in. Then they had another snowstorm that, you know, 40 lives were lost in Buffalo. And while they were trying to play a football game and to get back to Chicago from Chicago and handle this. Now this, Brandon Bean said that he doesn't know why Sean McDermott is. He goes, obviously I'm biased. He goes, but to handle this the way that they have with all that this team has gone through, and they talk about adversity and they talk about resiliency. It's different right now in the Bills locker room, and says, I don't know how any other coach in the league could be 12-3 with all that has been handled through this. So the outpouring of support, the rallying cries. And again, I think the city of Buffalo has gotten a chance to exhale, smile, to see Sean McDermott laugh, to see Brandon Bean smile. Feels really good, guys. I'm not going to lie. And Sunday, there's going to be a football game played in Buffalo. And Sean McDermott expects it to be unlike anything he has ever experienced.
Dan Fach joining us, does a great job. Close with the Bills, of course, covers them, Rochester and Buffalo. In a provincial town like Buffalo, Michael and Dan, has all of a sudden become the country's favorite city. I mean, like Michael just mentioned with the freezing, and you mentioned with the shooting and Dawson Knox's brother and now DeMar Hamlin, they picked up a lot of fans nationally, which I think is really, really cool. Of course, we'll be hosting the Patriots coming up this Sunday, the Patriots catching 7.5. The owners meeting going on right now to kind of vote on what's going to happen moving forward with seeding and where to play the AFC championship game. What are you hearing on that, Dan?
I'm hearing that the Bills really don't care. From what I'm hearing, is that wherever they need to play the game, they'll play the game. I think it was the right decision to not continue or resume that Cincinnati game. I know there were some reports that the team also just felt like there was bad mojo, bad juju on that game, and to kind of put it in the rearview mirror. Obviously, that creates headaches and chaos, but I think we're also understanding that there's more important things than a football game at this point. Now, how that matters going forward and how whether it's the Cincinnati, Kansas City, Buffalo, how they all go through this. I don't know. And I hate to be uneducated in this answer, guys. Obviously this is happening behind closed doors. We don't know exactly how the owners are going to vote. But there has just been so much other news that I've been paying attention to. And I really, the sense that we get is that this team doesn't care what the scenario the league and owners pick. Because this team is just thankful to have their teammate neurologically intact.
Well said.
Yeah. Well said. I think that's right, Dan. I think that's most of the NFL. I don't think anybody's going to complain about where they play or who they play. I think Cincinnati has a legitimate argument that why should a coin flip decide, you know, where if we have to go to Baltimore, Baltimore comes here. I mean, I think they're right there. I think that's something that's important. But I think Joe Burrow said this the same thing the other day, that, you know, this is something that, you know, we'll accept it, we'll move forward. This is a rare occurrence. And, you know, we're all competitors. And, you know, home field matters, but it really doesn't at the end of the day.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, I think that it has put everything into perspective. I think the NFL unfairly got some flack for whether there was a 5-minute, you know, get ready period or anything like that. To me, it doesn't matter. It was unprecedented what we saw on Monday night. There was no rule book. There was no way to follow that. Mitch Morse kind of talked about they were writing the script as they were going through it. So I know the NFL can get some flack of why did it take so long to cancel the game. I'm not in that class, because eventually they knew the game couldn't be played. Sean McDermott even said yesterday that he gave his team the option, that he didn't think he'd be right to play, but he also said, I went into the locker room and gave my guys the option if they wanted to go back out and play. And she was Josh Allen, another captain, said, no, we can't do this. And obviously the Bengals agreed and supported that decision too. So I agree. This it is a headache in the grand scheme of things. They do have to figure something out. When we can finally, as we're shifting back into talking about football instead of a human life, the Bills could have been the number one seed. We know that they could have won out and be the number one seed. If they lost, they could have been the 3 seed. So if everything stays status quo, they hang at number 2, and I think that's fair. I think that's the most reasonable way. And again, I'm with you, Mike. If there is a team that has a gripe or a reason to complain, it is Cincinnati, but I also think they don't care as well.
Yeah, the league has officially canceled the game, so the Bills and Bengals will have played one less game. That's just the facts. Before, we got a couple of minutes, so I thought we'd give you an opportunity. I saw a great quote about DeMar, Dan. It said, he's relentlessly committed to giving back. You're close to this team. You've covered this team for a long time. Would you like to shed some light on DeMar Hamlin as the person?
DeMar Hamlin was one of the first guys, one of his marketing reps, as soon as he was drafted by the Bills, pretty much reached out to a lot of the Bills media members and said, hey, do you guys want to talk to DeMar? You know, he's got this unique story. He does all these things. He gives back. And it was, I remember talking to DeMar on a Zoom before he was really introduced. He was a 6th-round draft pick, so it's not like he got right on a Zoom call after getting picked. And to get to kind of know the background, and he's best friends with Dane Jackson, who he played with at Pitt. And then he's also now, you know, in the same defensive backfield again with him. Very humble, but a smiley guy in the locker room. Again, he wasn't supposed to play all that much until Micah Hyde goes down. And then he gets thrust into this starting position and is really kind of coming into his own as this starter in the NFL, but carried this odd confidence and coolness that, like, he had been and spoke like he was a veteran. And, you know, he talked about, you know, this year he went up against Kenny Pickett, his former, you know, captain teammate at Pitt. And he always just kind of had this calm aura about him. And then you learn more about his toy drive that, you know, he wanted $2,500 for. It's now over $7 million. Brandon Bean said he was in Cincinnati the entire time, just got back to Buffalo, that he always tried to find some moments with DeMar Hamlin's parents to laugh, to joke. He goes, you need those moments of levity. And when they started to see the continuing millions, and now they're at 3.4, now they're at 4.1 million. And I guess there had been talks that there had been fights before about which kid gets which toy at the toy drive. And Brandon Bean said, you're going to be handing out cars next year. You're not going to be handing out toys. And to see the response of that is exactly what I think DeMar Hamlin is going to be so excited and appreciative of, the love and support that he's received.
Great job, Dan.
This is exactly what we needed. This is exactly what we needed. Our friend Dan Fates, of course, Bills reporter, WHAM Rochester there. Great job, Dan, and good luck to you. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it, guys.
Okay, thank you. We've got plenty to do as far as these line moves. We'll get to the Patriots and Bills. There's a quarterback with the Jets we haven't seen in a while. He's next.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, VSiN pros, you get the betting tools, the most popular betting tools without a doubt. It's the betting splits. You hear Michael Lombardi and I talking about them all the time. Updated every 10 minutes over at VSiN.com, straight from DraftKings, today's games and future events. Money and bets for every game. Make sure you check out the betting splits. Become a VSiN pro. It's VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, so we spent a good 30 minutes on DeMar Hamlin, as it should be. Of course, the Bills have plenty planned to commemorate and celebrate DeMar Hamlin coming up on Sunday as they host the Patriots. That number right now looks like the Bills laying 7.5 at most shops. However, we have to get to the news of the day, and the news of the day is Flacco v. Skylar Thompson. Wait, what? Yep. Jets quarterback Mike White is out Sunday, Michael Lombardi, versus the Dolphins. Remember, the Dolphins need to win this game. Flacco will start. Zach Wilson's going to be the backup. And it was announced, McDaniel said, Skylar Thompson's going to be the starter for Miami. Let's go ahead and get into this, and we'll get to the ramifications as far as the number.
I mean, Skylar Thompson and I think Mike Glennon, this game could feature, we could get to him. I mean, I think CBS would have to interrupt it if it goes Joe Flacco, Mike Glennon. I mean, it could be called, like, we're going to just have, whatever game you're watching, everybody needs to watch this, right? Like, let's just do that. right?
Wait, you're saying shut? You're saying the whole entire country just blanket?
I think
it
everybody.
That?
Yes. I don't care about your team or not. Like if this game gets to if this game gets to Flacco and Mike Glennon, everybody has to watch it. It's all we can do. You know, I mean, look, Flacco had that one moment against, you know, it's so funny we talk about this team, this Jet team, like they're, we said it yesterday. I mean, they should be 6-10. They should be 6-10 right now. I mean, and if it wasn't for Flacco's throws in that Jet fourth quarter, I don't know what they would have done. It just tells you how bad Zach Wilson must be. Like, why can't you put Zach Wilson out there? Well, he's for next year. What does that mean? What is, you think we're going to forget how bad he played this year? I mean, look, you don't forget those things. It's like, to me, it's like when Bella wants a cookie on a certain spot in Ocean. Like, she knows it. She don't forget it, right? Like, it's like you don't forget that. I mean, I don't understand it. And the media doesn't even think it's, oh, we're going to start Flacco. Okay, go start Flacco. Like, wait a minute. You're saying you're going to rehabilitate Wilson, but you can't play him in this game. Like, we're going to forget about it. Like, get some. How about having some guts and put it? How about having him saying, "No, damn it, I want to prove myself." Where's that?
Well, maybe he didn't finish the book. Remember, Coach Salah said he's got to go read a book. It's only been 24 hours since he gave the book edict. Maybe Wilson didn't digest the book, Michael Lombardi. By the way, yesterday, just quickly, I'll let you jump in. Just quickly, yesterday with White under center, the Jets were a point favorite. Guess what happened with Flacco? It's now flipped. Miami is a 3-point favorite. That's a big turn of events there as far as the number.
It's Miami with Skylar Thompson. It isn't Miami with two of that flip. Think about that. You didn't add that to it. You got to add that to it, too. It's Miami with Skylar Thompson. I mean, how about that? I mean, I don't understand
Skylar Thompson's a three-point favorite.
Skylar Thompson's weighted heavier than Joe Flacco. Like, I don't get it. Like, go down there and say, okay, Zach, look, we need you, man. Like, this is it. It's time to.
They're afraid of him.
It's time to do it.
They're afraid of him. He's afraid of himself right now.
So what is going to happen between now and when we start the season next July? In 7 months, what's is going to happen? Is he going to go see Stephen Covey out of BYU? Is he going to go take a class with, the John Maxwell? I mean, what do we do? What are we seeing here?
Stephen Covey, isn't he the one that wrote the 7 rules for confidence or something like that?
7 habits of highly effective people. His grandson is the returner for the Eagles.
I didn't know that.
Stephen Covey passed away. That's his grandson who's the returner. So, I mean, you know, like, what are we doing here? Like, I don't
know.
Nobody says a word about it. But he's coming back next year for sure. Oh, he is? But he's not good enough to go on the field. I mean, he's the second pick overall in the draft. What are we going to do? I mean, like, okay, well, I'm not going to send, you know, I mean, I get it that you don't want to send your kid to school when he's getting bullied. I get that. But this isn't like, you got to, this is his profession.
Well, his profession right now is backup quarterback for the Jets, that's Zach Wilson, because it's going to be Flacco at starter. And again, Miami has
flipped. I would love Flacco. Flacco should probably just say, you know, my elbow's sore today. Zach, you got this. I mean,
it is fascinating. It really is.
If we get Flacco, and then there's no, you know, Skylar Thompson can't stay healthy either. He's gotten hit. Now, you know, they had a lot of hopes for him. And you remember the Minnesota game? We thought that maybe, you know, he could come back. Remember he had the week of practice, I think it was, down there in Miami?
Who could forget?
How could you forget that? I think he was what? Skylar was 23 for 34 for 329 in that game. Got sacked 5 times through 2 picks. I mean, the Vikings only punted 13 out of 15 possessions.
Just to reiterate,
I was reading your Bridgewater's numbers.
Just to reiterate, you've talked about how many different starters have been used this season in the NFL. The Miami Dolphins are in a need to win to potentially get to the postseason, and they're starting Skylar Thompson. The Jets, who just traded away Darnold, then drafted Wilson, are now playing Flacco. And this is a big-time division matchup, and also, again, a must-win for the Dolphins. They're laying 3, hosting Joe Flacco and the Jets. This is just a wild turn of events, you have to admit.
I mean, if you're a Jet fan, you just got to shake your head and say, what are we doing here? Like, what are we doing? And look, let's be clear here. The Jets have look, when you break this game down, the Jets' outside receivers are better than the corners for Miami. Now, the Jets' offensive line creates some problems, but they should move the ball on this Miami defense. Everybody has. If they can protect, you can throw the ball. So there's, and you can run the ball on Miami. I mean, Miami will get in that double eagle front and try to take away the run, but there's opportunities to make plays. It's just you got to be able to have some form of execution with the football. I mean, last week, New England, without even, you know, New England moved the ball when they had to. They got the pass interference call. They threw a great throw to Hunter Renfrow. I mean, they had a couple drives, but the offense isn't explosive. I mean, the misnomer about Miami is they're this incredibly improved team that has been unfortunate because of the quarterback injury. That's not the narrative that's real. The narrative is they've improved by Tua standards, but the rest of the team hasn't improved.
Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. That's the book that Michael Lombardi has recommended to Zach Wilson. If he can get that reading material done by tomorrow, maybe we flip. Maybe we've got a new starter. But it is
it's unbelievable. I mean, you can't make this up. I mean, you know what it looks like from the outside looking in? It looks like a committee. It looks like Woody's got to say. It looks like Salah's got to say. It looks like Joe Douglas. He gets an A, but he's got to say. You know, I mean, it just looks like it's all over, right? Like everybody says, like this is truly what committee meetings look like. Everybody has a say, so the decision ends up. You say, wait a minute, how is it? Like if you're a leader, and you're taking the control of it, you're saying, look, Zach, you're gonna have to. This is what we're gonna do. You're either gonna step up or you're stepping out.
You love it. You love the Jets drama. I can tell you relish in this Jets. It's like Belichick. You know he relishes in this Jets drama. And what happens at that position?
This drama is just a tip. I feel bad for Felica and all the Jet fans. This drama is the tip of the iceberg to why they can't win. This is the tip. This is it. They have too many people with opinions coming in. They don't have somebody who says common sense and says, okay, here's what we're going to do. I mean, Here's what nobody asked. And I mean, how did Mike White play last week? Why did he play last week? If he can't play this week, what happened in the game that caused him he wasn't healthy enough to play last week. They just kicked him out there.
All I know is Mike White is valued in the market. Like I told you,
it's unbelievable.
He was a point Mike favorite White on the road yesterday. Flacco goes in there, flips four the other way. The Dolphins are laying the key number of three. That is, think about the Mike White respect.
I mean, it's amazing. We've been sold
a bill of goods. The Jets fans have been sold a bill of goods on Mike White. I got caught up in it as well. They have a disastrous quarterback situation there with the Jets. And
this is symbolic of their lack of leadership. Like, who's running this ship? Like, who's running this? Like, who's coming up with this idea? And I see people on Twitter, well, you can't put Zach Wilson back in there. Why? Why? What, you think being on the bench is going to help him? What, you think 6 months from now from not competing is going to help him learn how to become a competitor?
I do have good news for you.
Get back out there, win the game. Go back out there, win. You know how he can get back his team? Go back out there and win the game for his team. Do what he did in the fourth quarter. What?
Did you see that? I think Woody returned from Dublin, and he was at practice yesterday. So he'll take care of it. Woody Johnson, the owner there of the Jets. You saw yesterday. He was hanging around practice.
Just picture this, though. Say to Wilson, we go out there, play like you did the fourth quarter against Pittsburgh. You played well. That's what we need. We need that from you. And win the game. If you win this game for us, your next year becomes unbelievable.
But you've said it. He's shook. He's mentally, he's completely out
of it
right now.
If he's that fragile, how can he be the quarterback of the New York football
Jets quarterback. He's not. Do you think he's going to be starting week one for the Jets next year?
No.
Exactly.
I don't.
It's propaganda, bro. Woody's back from Dublin. Good to see him.
I want Felica's opinion on this.
Well, he's texting. You know Felica's texting. Lombardi, look ahead. Hall & Oates, line of the week and coordinator battle next.
Featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, attention, BetMGM customers. If you have a friend who loves sports as much as you do, this is for our friend Felica. Send a message to your friend. Here's a chance for both of you to earn $50 in bonuses when you sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. It's very simple. You just sign into your BetMGM account, click on the Refer a Friend program, send your friend a message. They accept, sign up. You both get $50. You get rich. It's that simple. BetMGM.com or download the newly reconfigured app. Refer a Friend. 1-800-GAMBLER, 21 years or older. As we welcome you back, it's time for the Lombardi Look Ahead. We got a little graphic to support it.
Here we go, Michael. Music check too. You out. I love it. Nice job, Elliot.
That's Back to the Future. You see that? That graphic right there. I noticed the font. That's Back to the Future. We dive into the Lombardi Look Ahead. Remember, the column drops every Friday. A good one today as far as some of these teams and their motivations. But, of course, we start with the Hall & Oates play. I can't go for that. It's important to discern, and Michael Lombardi does. He takes in line. He throws it away. And this one is Eagles laying 14 against the Giants, Michael.
All right, so it looks easy, right? I mean, we know that the Giants haven't even announced who's starting. I think it could be Davis Webb. I don't think they would even put Tyrod Taylor out there. I think Davis Webb's going to have to go out there and take one for the team. So they're not. Okay, so that's that's going to be an easy win for Philly. Not so fast. Philly's going to win the game. That's why what the money line is, what, minus 1,000 or something like that? You know, I mean, so Philly's going to win the game. However, what I'm worried about is when Philly retreats. I mean, this is going to be two armies that are just specializing in retreating. Because say Philly goes up 24-0 at the half, right? Then they take out all their guys and put in their backups. And now, all of a sudden, the Giants start to look a little bit better. Maybe they get to 10, which now all of a sudden, is the 14 going to be enough? I don't know. So, to me, I can't predict it because I can't predict if Philly's going to keep their foot on the gas. Philly's not going to keep their foot. They're, at some point in this game, they're going to back off. Now, maybe it's 31-0 when they back off and you're going to cover. I don't know if you want to risk that.
Giants-Eagles. That's a Hall & Oates play.
I can't go for that. No can do.
Little Philadelphia soul. Can't go for that. And, hey, by the way, did the Giants check? Maybe they could use Zach Wilson. Maybe he'd play for them. I digress.
I mean, say what you want, right? I think what the Giants have proven, and I've been hard on Daniel Jones since he's been there, but the Giants have proven that they've been able to get Daniel Jones to play within their system. I don't know what the Jets system is. Now, Daniel Jones is a heart, is a competitor. He tries hard. He's a tough kid. He studies. Those might be things that you don't think of with Zach Wilson. But to me, like going back to the Zach Wilson conversation, like this is so obvious that the team hates Wilson or else they would go to him. And if the team doesn't like him in January of 23, what's going to make them like him in July of 23?
What's Felica call Wilson? Donny Osmond?
Yeah.
It's a good moniker. Okay, I can't go for that. Hall & Oates play Eagles laying the big price against the Giants, hosting them. Okay, line of the week, the Bengals. So news here, we've talked about all week Tyler Huntley, and his shoulder was banged up. You could see he couldn't throw the football against the Steelers. There is a question mark at quarterback right now, and we've seen this number jump big time in Cincinnati. It's all the way up to 10, so a 2.5-point move from yesterday. Could be Anthony Brown. That right now Michael Lombardi, is the line of the week.
Yeah, I think to me at 7, that seemed fishy. Because for me, on my board, you know, I had this game as a 4.89 game. Even with Huntley, I know Lamar wasn't going to play. But let's face it, if they rely on their running game, whether Lamar's in there or not. And I think this game is always competitive. It's two teams. But now it's taken another turn. So now it's taken another turn to where we're going to get Anthony Brown. And now you've got to ask yourself, what's John Harbaugh going to do? He's already in it, right? So maybe he becomes the sixth seed, okay? Because mm-hmm. I think if Baltimore and – I think that's what Adam Burke's got to clear up for me. Say they lose and the Chargers are not playing anybody against Denver, right? I mean, that line, Denver's favored in that game, surprisingly. So say they both lose, the Ravens are the fifth seed – and they would play the three seed, they're going back to play Cincinnati again. So, I mean, I think at that point, do you really want to play your guys knowing Anthony Brown's going to be in there? I don't know. And so I think this line is obviously moving in the direction that it's Anthony Brown. And think about this, Patrick. It's 39.5 on the total, and the line is 10.
Exactly. The hard part for the league, Michael, remember, if the Ravens were to beat the Bengals, they would have won both head-to-head matchups this year. However, the win percentage would favor the Bengals. The league is saying if you end up meeting in the wild card round, we're then just going to flip a coin. Because the Ravens have won twice head-to-head, yet the win percentage goes to the Bengals, we've got to flip a coin. That's where it stands right now with those two teams.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're sending Anthony Brown out there, right, and you know that the chances of you beating Joe Burrow and the troops are probably not very good, wouldn't you be better off resting some of your guys to go back to Cincinnati again to give them a real game?
Right. You would think so. You would think so. And again, based on what you said yesterday, we're not going to see Lamar Jackson in that wild card round, right?
I can't even imagine it. I can't even imagine it. I mean, you know, I don't. Again, like I said yesterday, I'm not blaming anybody here, right? Like this is – I'm not saying Lamar should play, and I'm not saying the Ravens are wrong. I'm saying this is all Deshaun Watson's fault. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Line of the week there in Cincinnati, up to 10. Ravens questions at quarterback continue. The Bengals laying the wood. Coordinator battle. Of course, on Saturday, winning you're in. The Titans travel to Jacksonville. The numbers, the Jags laying 6.5, but you've got a coordinator battle going on here.
Yeah, I think this is really going to be a fun game to watch because I think what Jacksonville did is Jacksonville came in there, they got behind 14-0, and then they started to throw the football against the Titans, and they were very effective doing that, right? They gained 429 yards total, but 368 in the air. And now Vrabel knows, okay, since when they played that game, since that game, you know, really, it started before that game. I mean, they played Kansas City really well in the passing game. I mean, Kansas City still threw for 422 yards in the game, but they couldn't score any points. You know, they couldn't score any points. But now Jacksonville did when they threw for 368. So Vrabel kind of knows what he's going to see. And some of those play, so he's going to make an adjustment. And maybe he plays more nickel. Maybe he does some different things. But I think the chess match in this game is going to be fun to watch. And I think Vrabel's had 10 days to get ready for it. So I think you're going to see point, counterpoint, never another point. I think it's going to go back and forth. We know they're limited offensively, right? So Vrabel's got to take the play clock down as far as he can every play. He's got to slow the game down. He's got to put pressure on Lawrence. He's got to force Lawrence to. I think it'll be a hell of a game, and I think there'll be a game within the game, and that's what I'm anxious to watch because this is really – a playoff game, just like I think Detroit-Green Bay is a playoff game, not because I think Detroit's going to the playoffs. I just think if Dan Campbell understands the situation, he treats it like a playoff game. He basically tells his team, this is a playoff game. We're not even going to know the score of the Seattle game. I don't want anybody to tell us. Nobody look. We're playing this like a playoff game. Win or get in.
Volatility of the quarterback position is the theme this year. How about this? Tennessee, a win and you're in. Josh Dobbs is starting. Miami needs to win. Skylar Thompson is starting. If that's not this year in a nutshell, I don't know how else.
I mean, let me ask you this question. You know, I mean, say Miami wins. Do you think Tua plays the next week?
Well, do we think Tua plays next year?
The what? Miami would be the seventh seed, correct?
Correct.
And they would have to go to Buffalo.
Correct. Right now, as it stands, correct. And Tua, who wasn't cleared, obviously, to play this week, there are questions about his future. Do you see him a week out, 2 weeks out? I'd be dubious. My guess is we see another Skylar Thompson start.
Yeah, which, I mean, I think so. I mean, and I can't imagine that, you know, look, I think the weather is not going to be prohibitive in the East Coast. I think it's not. Oh, the other thing I want to go back to, not we're jumping around, but I want to Please. Mention this. I think, you know, the one thing about this game between Jacksonville, when you play a team as much as they have, these two teams, and Vrabel got a handle on how Doug Peterson wants to call the game. I mean, it's hard to duplicate the game. And Vinovich is going to be the official on Saturday night. And I think you'll get a fairly good game called in that game, and I think they'll let him play. And if he lets them play and they get physical in the secondary, that could help Tennessee.
So here's what I will say. Again, Lombardi, look at Hall & Oates play, Eagles-Giants, line of the week, Bengals-Ravens, coordinator battle, Titans-Jags. You can read about it over at VSiN.com for subscribers. Here's what I would say. We'll get your Lombardi line tomorrow on Titans-Jags. My assumption is you're going to shade your number towards Vrabel. Maybe you can give it. Don't give me the number because I want to get it tomorrow. But I feel like you're going to be backing Vrabel with that 6.5. You want to tease me a little bit on that?
I think it's going to be a close game. Okay. I think it's going to be a close game. I think have to be. I just don't think they're talented enough. But I think he'll make a difference in the game.
Vrabel always makes a difference. Totally agree. Okay. Vinny's going to join us next from behind the book there at the South Point. Implications from the Bills-Bengals game being shut down in the futures market. How do you handle it behind the book? We'll find out next here on the Lombardi Line.